It's time for Everything Under the Sun. Hello, Carbondale, the Long Fork Valley and beyond. Welcome to the Everything Under the Sun show. This is your host, James Steinler, and I am here with freelance journalist Genevieve Villemizar. How are you, Genevieve?
So tickled you pronounced my name so awesomely.
Thank you. I'm so tickled I did too. I'm glad. All right. And we also have on the line Olivia. Olivia, are you there?
Hi, team.
Hey. And this is Olivia Emmer that we have on the line. Olivia is also a contributing writer to the Soprous Sun. How are you doing today, Olivia?
I'm great.
Awesome. Thanks so much for calling in.
My pleasure.
Okay, and so we're going to jump right into it because we do have another segment to get into later in the show. But Olivia, we have you on today to discuss, you were recently chosen for a fellowship. It's a statewide fellowship, is that right?
Yeah, so it's I'm a 2021 Colorado Media Project Water Journalism Fellow. And it's a cohort of 10 journalists from around the state representing a variety of mediums. So there's writers, photographers, people who do radio, and from all over the state.
Cool. And just again for our listeners, what is the name of the program or the fellowship?
Yeah, it's hosted by the Colorado Media Project, and I'm a 2021 Water Journalism Fellow. So the goal of the fellowship is to improve the local news ecosystem's ability to report on water and to get this cohort to know each other better so that we can act as a network of resources for each other for future reporting.
Really cool. And are you meeting with those 10 other journalists on a regular basis?
Yeah, virtually. Because everyone's so far apart, the resources are happening over Zoom and phone and email.
Awesome. Is there a how long will the fellowship last?
I believe it's a 5-month program. So we'll be attending a series of lectures to improve our knowledge base around water. So the workshops are organized by Freshwater News, which is a nonprofit news service. Then we get mentorship from journalists at the Colorado News Collaborative. And then there's also a stipend, which goes to the newsroom through the Gates Family Foundation.
Oh, that's so awesome. And so how did you get involved with this? Was it through the Soprous Sun, or did you do this research and bring it to Raleigh?
Yeah. So Raleigh, our editor, had forwarded me the news about the application process because he knows I love to write about water and natural resources and the environment. The application is a reflection not only of me as a journalist applying, but also of the newsroom that basically I'm affiliated with. So this fellowship wasn't only about choosing me, it was also about them choosing the Soprous Sun. And I think that's a reflection of our status as like a local nonprofit news. We do content sharing with other regional papers, our awesome Spanish language component. So I think it's a real nod to the Soprous Sun and all the work that the paper is doing.
That's so wonderful, and it's so lovely of you to share the credit with the rest of the Soprous Sun gang, but we are so proud of you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I feel really honored.
This could be a very loaded answer, before we hang up and move on to our next segment, why is it important to report about water now?
Sure. Well, it's important to people who live here. Like, we all want to have water come out of our taps, and it's important to our rural character. We've got obviously lots of farming and ranching, and it matters for local food probably a lot of people who live here and come here come to recreate. So fishing, boating, skiing, all of those activities are tied to water. And also our ecosystems. We really need water to have functioning ecosystems and healthy public lands.
Awesome. And how often will we be seeing a story for the fellowship?
It doesn't specify. So some of the reporting I do through the fellowship will be on my own, released through the Soper Sun. And then there's also a big collaborative piece that the entire cohort will work on together. And so that bigger piece will come out toward the end of the fellowship.
That's so cool. Well, again, we are so proud of you, Olivia, and thank you for going in above and beyond for this small town newspaper and for our readers.
Thank you. It's I'm really it feels important, and I'm just really excited and happy to be doing this work.
It's so important, and we're so glad to have you you doing that important work. So thank you, Olivia.
Thanks. Same to you, James.
Awesome.
And you, John
Diaz. You are an inspiration. Thank you so much for all of the hardcore, important writing that you do versus, you know, someone like me who does it all from emotion.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to get into
it
that.
It takes all kinds, right?
It does. Yes. We are a eclectic, you know, cohort of writers.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Well,
cool.
You take care. We're going to get Jennifer Jewell on the line. Have a lovely weekend, and I'll see you on Monday.
All right, sounds good. Bye.
All right, bye, Olivia. Thank you. Okie dokie. I think we have Jennifer Jewell on the line. Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here. Very nice to be here.
So wonderful to have you, and you are coming in clear as day. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Jennifer.
Well, thank you. Hi, how are you?
Good. So thrilled to be talking to you again.
Yeah, I'm here with reporter Genevieve, who I know you know, and wrote the article this week that was published in the Soper Sun regarding your work and the planned event at Aces Rock Bottom Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So excited for it. One week from yesterday, right? Yeah, today's Thursday. Yes,
sweet.
1 week from yesterday.
So can you
so
tell
exciting.
Listeners, Jennifer, what is happening at Rock Bottom next week?
Well, I am going to be traveling from Northern California, where I live, to visit you all in Aspen there, and to be the Jessica Caddo speaker for this lecture series this Wednesday the 11th from 6 to 7 p.m. And I'm going to be talking about my work as a gardening enthusiast and advocate and host of the national award-winning public radio program Cultivating Place, conversations on natural history and the human impulse to garden, and how that has sort of spun off as well into two different books published over the last 2 years, one entitled The Earth in Her Hands, 75 Extraordinary Women Working in the World of Plants, and then another that was published just this spring entitled Under Western Skies, Visionary Gardens from the Rocky Mountains to the Pacific Coast. But it's all of it. Everything I do, I write, I speak about, I share about to poor people passing by me on the street every day is about my firm belief that gardens and gardeners and gardens of all kinds are these really powerful spaces that deserve a lot more empowerment and encouragement and acknowledgement.
Well said. So you've said the word garden maybe 25 times in
right.
the last blurb that you were speaking. And I think that when most people hear garden, it's almost like they tune out. Like it's not either sexy enough or cool enough or edgy enough or adventurous enough. how do you move past that? What would you, how would you redefine gardening?
Well, it's funny because I think what you say is both true and oddly not true, in that we know through research that gardening is one of these common grounds that really transcend all the things that might divide us, you know, politics, religion, socioeconomics, time and space, and all humans have engaged in it across time and space, no matter where they come from or why they are motivated to garden. And something like in 2018, the last official census, something like 38% of all U.S. households noted that they engaged in the act of gardening. That's 49 million households, okay? And we know in 2020 that something like another 18 million gardeners came online. So it's almost like plants themselves, in that they are everywhere, they are ubiquitous, and we become blind to them.
We don't see it.
I think, yeah, my first goal is to get people to remember and tap into the joy and beauty and wonder and requirement we as humans have for plants in order to live.
Can you paint a picture through all of your years of writing and with your podcast? Can you really briefly just introduce us to three of your favorite gardeners and why? Like, who really either spoke to your heart or struck you through the work they were doing? Because we both know we're not talking about pictures here, what something actually just looks like.
Well, that first gardener would have to be my mother, who passed into the greater garden in 1998. And she is one of those people who was just born to garden. So it wasn't a choice. It wasn't a career path that she trained for, although both of those things are true. She is just someone who, that is how she expressed herself. And I think I shared with you in our interview, Genevieve, that when I was 16 and she was 39, she was diagnosed with breast cancer that she lived with for about 16 years. And she never once that I saw, like, doubted her place on this planet, even in the face of that, because she had this really embodied belief and everyday action of the sort of what I call the Tao of compost. And that is this gift, I think, that many gardeners receive when they begin gardening, whether that's at age 4 or at age 44, that, you know, things come back to you, that you, what you put in comes back out, that that things die and go dormant and then regrow in some other form. And so that would be my first gardener. My second gardener would be a combination of the two little girls that I have brought into this world.
Beautiful.
And seeing them grow up as not yet full-fledged gardeners, but little people that I remember, you know, at age, say, 4 and 6, and realizing that they both were gardeners of some variety, but one of them was naturally inclined to be like a flower arranger, and she wanted to go out with the clippers every day and pick all the pretty colorful flowers and then bring them in and kind of work with them in this artistic display. And the other daughter, the second daughter, she just wanted to dig. She wanted to be out in the garden and digging in the soil and finding the worms and the beetles and then planting things. And what these two little people gardeners have shown me in their 20 and 22-year-old lives is that the garden will meet you wherever you are and however you are inclined to express your gardening impulse. And so I'm speaking for a very long time on this, and I'll just leave those as my three gardeners. But maybe they're just the generic you. Whoever you are out there listening right now, you know, whether you want to put some basil that you bought at the grocery store into a vase on your kitchen counter, that to me is some form of gardening. Or you are developing the new Audubon bird display garden out at Aces. That is gardening. And it just, it's a very wide and capacious art form in our world.
So you mentioned listeners out there, and you're on radio and you do a podcast as well. Can you tell listeners why the transition from print and photography to radio was so galvanizing for you?
Yeah, I definitely can. I had been writing about gardens from about the age of 30 to about the age of 40. And I loved writing about gardens. I am a writer by nature. I am a gardener by nature. And to put those two things together was just really sweet for me. But after about 10 years of doing this, I came to understand that there was this like icky reality in what I often still enjoy as a beautiful picture and a lovely magazine article or newspaper article, in how much it reduced our gardening world, especially when coupled with advertising and marketing and a sort of destination lifestyle, into it transformed what I understood gardening to be into a commodity instead of into this spiritual life relationship that engages us with our own survival and with one another in wholly just profound ways. It reduced that impulse to this two-dimensional image that was all about good looks as opposed to all about voice or thought or intention. And I really wanted to stop writing about gardens and only talk about them, because it moved us past this kind of diminishment and demeaning, I think, of the gardening that I understand most gardeners to be doing, or the gardening that most gardeners find once they actually get out there and are doing this activity themselves.
So getting out there and actually doing it. Earlier you mentioned the word embodiment. Can you talk more about that for our listeners and the connection embodiment has with gardening?
Sure. You know, and this might be best articulated by a woman that I interviewed for The Earth in Her Hands, a wonderful gardener herself, and she's the owner of a farm and garden store in Oakland, California, called Pollinate Farm and Garden. And she says that her greatest joy in having people come into her farm and garden store is not teaching them something new, but it's rather watching them remember something that they hold in their body as part of what it means to be human, and that is to cultivate the soil and grow food, or cultivate the soil and tend, you know, animals, whether they be chickens or rabbits or even just the songbirds that come through. And I think that is true for most people, that even if you don't think of yourself as a plant person, if you go back one or two or three generations, however many it takes, you will find land-based people. And those people are somewhere in your genetics. And Yolanda Burrell, owner of Pollinate, really kind of put that fine point on that truth for me. And, you know, if you're a gardener, you will know what I mean when you say that you are, you know, perhaps walking from the car with your groceries to the house, and you're in your work clothes from the day, perhaps, and you notice that maybe your roses or your nasturtiums or your basil needs deadheading, and you set your groceries down and you go to pick that one deadhead so that the plant can keep blooming for longer in the season, And then all of a sudden, it's 5 hours later, and your family are wondering what happened to dinner.
Totally.
and, you know, that is this, like, flow and this engagement that we get in very few other places. And we speak in these terms as a culture about art, fine art, about literature, about great music, about dance. And I truly believe that all of that humanness is in the act of gardening as well.
Beautifully, beautifully said. I discovered gardening from a high I got pruning a bush once, and it changed my life forever. That's all. It just takes that one time, that turning point, and a person's life is literally changed forever. I see it in several of the clients that I've worked with designing and walking them through the whole process of creating these gardens. And they're still my friends 10, 15 years later. And it's incredible to see the peace, the joy, the solace, the uplift, the pleasure, just all of it. It's just so incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Sorry to chime in here. For those without gardens, and that we here in the Roaring Fork Valley, we have so many people who are landscaping as a business. And so if you're not necessarily cultivating your own garden, is there still a benefit to that?
Oh, well, my goodness, yes.
You don't even have to be a gardener. You can look at the nature and the things living and growing around you on your daily walk to your cup of coffee, or your bike ride that you do in the evening, or like Jennifer was saying, you know, when you're carrying your groceries from a car to a door. It doesn't even have to be a garden. It's just, and that's what I love about your work, Jennifer, is you always say plants and gardens. It's never just gardens. And for me, when I look at whether it's a bud poking through the dirt in the spring or a leaf unfurling, I'm not just looking at this physical thing in front of me. Getting back to that term you used, embodiment, I feel it. If it's a plump, lusty bud, I'm flushed with this plump lustiness. And if it's a pokey, prickly plant, then I can feel that inside of me. And I think that is what is so exciting about gardening and plants, is it makes us feel. It makes us alive, more alive.
Yeah, and to kind of riff off of another, like, wonderful wisdom holder in our world, Robin Wall Kimmerer, who I also interviewed for The Earth in Her Hands, and her work in both in scientific research and in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, she would also sort of pick up what you just said, Genevieve, and say, your joy and in observing and being part of that plump bud is also felt by the plant, that positive energy feedback loop is not lost on the plants or the landscapes in which we move and make our lives. And so I think about, there's an elderly woman who lives down the street with me, and she takes a walk every day around the neighborhood, and it's a very, you know, typical suburban neighborhood. But she shared with me once that there are two or three trees along that walk that she always sort of greets and says hello to. And she kind of checks in on where they are in their season. And so to me, even though she's not pruning these trees necessarily, or, you know, watering them or feeding them, to me, that relationship that she has, that is a form of gardening in itself as well. And I have a very generous definition of the word garden, and it can be kind of a word that has some baggage attached to it in our world, in that it has been, I think, sort of misappropriated into representing kind of middle class or wealthy white people based on how these images are projected in magazines and other print forms. But that, again, I just think there are, you know, as Rumi says, 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss the ground. There are as many ways to garden as there are humans on this planet.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for your time today. Unfortunately, we are coming to an end to our show. I want to let our listeners know again, though, that you will be at Rock Bottom Ranch on August 11th at 6 p.m. And how can people register? Is there still availability?
I believe there is still availability, and I would go to the Aspen Center for Environmental Studies webpage. I think that's .org, and look for tickets there. If not, you can also go to my webpage, which is cultivatingplace.com, and go to the event tab and scroll down to August 11th, and you can click a link there. I think you can go on Instagram and look for links at ACES or Isacato Studio or Cultivating Play.
Great.
And they're free. Register.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye, Jennifer.
See you.
Take care, Jennifer. Thank you again.